Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Welcome to Engage for Success Radio and show number 479 in our weekly series. Engage for Success is a not-for-profit movement and the UK's leading voice on the topic of employee engagement. We are out there raising awareness and running events through our area networks around the country, and our topic and sector-specific thought and action groups are developing research, publishing case studies, and shining a light on great practice. Now, you can visit engageforsuccess.org to learn more and sign up for our weekly newsletter so you never miss out on any of the great free resources, events, and updates. And I'm Andy Gorham. I'm your host for today and founder of BizJuicer, an employee engagement and culture development consultancy that helps companies retain more of their great people and makes it easier for them to attract fabulous new talent too. At Engage for Success, our purpose is to inspire both people and workplaces to thrive. And goodness only knows how much that has been put to the test over the last few years. Our recent report into the state of employee engagement in the UK since the pandemic showed that during that time it dropped significantly pretty much everywhere, with an average drop of around 11%. And so far, we've only recovered only close to a third of that drop. So we're still 8% down on pre-pandemic levels. Now, during that time, the workplace has seen many changes as businesses and employees seek to find a balance between how to drive the business forward and cope with the changing needs and expectations of employees. Now, one particular area of focus has been the rise of flexible working and workplaces. If you chuck in the term flexible working into Google, in less than half a second, it's going to return over a billion search results. And flexible workplaces brings back over 16 million. So it's a popular topic. But what does it mean? What does that really look like? And how does it differ from the myriad of versions of hybrid working that many people and businesses are still battling to make work today? Well, my guest today is Ursula Tavender. Ursula is joint CEO of Flexbo, an innovative startup organization that exists to make the world of work more inclusive for everyone through its events, flexible working consultancy, and Flexbro, a software that helps teams have better conversations and help them make more flexible working really work for them. She's an incredibly passionate advocate for equal career and working opportunities for all, and through her work is trying to help businesses support flexible ways of working and bring about a real shift in business culture so that more people, regardless of their role, circumstances, or working pattern, can stay and progress in work. I'm looking forward to hearing about how Ursula is currently fighting the good fight and hearing her views on what we still need to do to create a better working environment for everyone. Welcome to the show, Ursula.
Thank you so much for having me, Andy. It's lovely to be here with you. And it's always quite humbling to hear yourself read back to you. It's a strange and surreal experience, but I'm really, really happy to be here. So thank you for having me.
Well, hopefully that's the most uncomfortable you'll be over the next sort of 30 minutes or so as we chat through this stuff. I'm genuinely really interested to hear about this quest of yours to improve workplace and working opportunities. But before we get into that, just do us a little bit of a favor, could you? Could you just give us a little bit of background on you and the things that you're currently focused on?
Of course, thank you. So I am, first and foremost, I have a wonderful family. So I have two amazing children who are nine, two boys, nine and four. And we live down on the south coast, so we have an incredible life down here. I think it's fair to say that without becoming a parent, I probably wouldn't be half the person that I am. You know, it really has crystallized the person that I am and who I want to be, and that is someone who makes good things happen in the world. And before they were born, I had significant mental health challenges. So I was very unwell with a debilitating eating disorder for a long time. And part of my motivation to get better was so that I could start, my husband and I could start a family. And when things got to the point in my illness where it became very clear that I wasn't going to be able to heal myself, which obviously now I think is, you know, looking back is a ridiculous notion, but when I was in the grips of it, I felt I should be able to heal myself. You know, I felt I should be able to, as a privileged, educated, professional, capable person, that I should be able to fix it. And I couldn't, and I became increasingly unwell. And I swore to myself that where it got, if it got to the point where I was, my performance at work was impacted. So I was in communications at the time, working for a large housing organization. And I went to my boss eventually, sort of admitted defeat. I went to her and I said, you know, I'm really, really struggling here, and expected her to sign me off. And she didn't. She insisted that I got psychiatric help as an outpatient before it got to the point where I would need to be treated as an inpatient. And she insisted that I work flexibly around my hospital appointments. And I don't honestly think it's any exaggeration to say that flexible working in part was responsible for saving my life, because had you taken away my work at that point, when I was already struggling enormously, I think it would have been even worse. I think I would have spiraled even further, because without my work and without the purpose of the work that I had, you know, we were working to improve housing. You know, I've always been incredibly purpose driven. And so to take that away, she saw what I didn't see. I think to take that away from me would have made it worse. So that was my first real understanding of the power of flexibility and of a workplace that, you know, provided a culture in which you were safe to be able to talk about your personal circumstances and be supported and not be treated differently as a result of your personal circumstances. I then went on to have my wonderful first son. And at the same time, my husband developed some pretty life-changing health conditions. So he ended up needing a kidney transplant. And his recovery was really complex. And again, you know, when you find yourself as somebody with some pretty complicated personal circumstances, finding your place in the world of work as it was back then in the sort of 2010, 2012 and onwards, the world was very different then pre-COVID. And I said to him, we were both self-employed by this point. I said to him, you know, take some time for you, take some time for your recovery, because the first 2 years after the transplant were really complicated, very rocky. And I couldn't find anything out there that was, you know, wouldn't have involved me saying goodnight to our son on a Sunday night and then pretty much not seeing him till the following Saturday morning. And after everything we'd been through as a family, it just felt like a compromise too far, that, you know, we just weren't willing to make that compromise. So I became quite angry at that point, but, you know, I felt like I had a lot to give to the world of work. I felt like, you know, I was in my 30s and I was just getting started, really. And all of a sudden there was no place for me. And that felt really awful. And I was full of rage about it, Andy, to be honest with you. And I decided to channel that rage in the most positive way that I could think of, which was to wade my way in and get involved in helping the world of work to become more inclusive, so that one day, I hope, no one, regardless of their personal circumstances, will feel excluded and will find a place in the world of work which they deserve. And so that's what has always driven me in this work. And so it began with consulting with organizations. It happened sort of quite organically in the end. Primarily at first through parent and carer networks, running, you know, wellbeing initiatives on, you know, supporting people to manage the juggle between their personal commitments and their work. And then over time, I switched the focus of the consultancy, as organizations were saying to me, it's great that we're doing this for our people, but what else can we be doing, and what are other organizations doing? And so I started to work with companies specifically on making flexible working work as the number one way to make work more accessible and inclusive for everybody. And then I spoke at an event called Flexpo back in 2018. And originally Flexpo was conceived as an event by my wonderful friend and business partner and partner in all things life now, Madeline Cole. And it was originally conceived as a way to connect people looking for flexible work with progressive employers who were offering flexible vacancies. And that happened at Sandown Racecourse, the first ever event there. But we found that lots of people leaders were registering for that event, wanting it to be an event that would help them to connect with other people leaders on the same path, and where they could hear best practice and inspirational stories around other organisations making it really work. And this is in a pre-COVID world where there wasn't anything like that. So at that point, Madeline asked me to come on board formally, not just as a speaker and a kind of informal member of the advisory board for Flexpo. And what we decided to do in 2020 as COVID hit was join our businesses together. So create Flexpo Limited as a company that offered the events. And then beyond the events, the people leaders that come along can then lean on us for support longer term as they implement different ways of working. And we spent last year developing our software product, which is Flexpro. And that comes from one of the most powerful frameworks that we've used within organizations to transform the culture around flexible working. And it's so funny because I find it really quite challenging to talk about sometimes because it came out of my brain, you know, and it's always like a little bit I think I've still got some work to do on the old imposter syndrome piece, I think, but essentially it's a tool to help teams have better conversations, take the pressure off of managers to have all the answers. And so regardless of whether you are in a frontline role, which, you know, means that you are not able to work in a hybrid or remote way, you can make flexibility work. So you can add elements of flexibility to your team and to your role based on what's important to everybody. And also your interpretation of what the company's approach is, because what we so often find and where the tool came from in the first place was I was wanting to create solutions for companies that were experiencing inconsistency with the adoption of flexible working as a result of the fact that beyond the implementation of a policy or of an approach, there wasn't an awful lot of support available for managers or for teams. So that's where it originated from. And in creating the digitized version of that, what we want to do is enable any company of any size or type to be able to use it to make flexible working work. Not every company can afford consultancy. Not everyone has the budget for that. It's just a way of bringing that tool and that change process, I guess, to the masses, really, which we're really, really excited about.
Wow. Where do you go from there? Firstly, thank you so much for sharing your personal story, because that really does open up where your passion for this comes from. I mean, that's an incredibly moving story. I'm sure it was a very, very difficult time. And how wonderful to hear somebody that's been through, you know, considerable personal adversity, really channel that into something as positive as you are doing today. So look, really, thank you so much for sharing that story. I feel like a bit of an intruder here. I really should just, the host is not needed in this regard. Just wind you up and let you tell your story, Ursula. It's fantastic. If anybody should have no imposter syndrome, it's somebody who's gone through what you've gone through and is doing something like you're doing. But let's get into some of that, shall we? I mentioned in the introduction that there is, frankly, a lot of activity and noise in this area currently, and many people are still struggling to make things like flexibility and I guess the link of hybrid working work. I'm interested to understand, with everything that you've spoken about so far, what do you think makes you different and where are you seeing real success?
Thanks. First of all, before I answer that question, thank you for those kind words, Andy. I think you're doing yourself a massive disservice because you've created a safe environment where I feel like I'm able to share everything. So thank you for that. In answer to your question, I feel like Maddie and I and our team, we're absolutely determined to do things in a different way. Mm-hmm. the world of work has irrevocably changed as a result of the COVID pandemic. And I think that quite soon after it began, we started to see that this was the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, prior to COVID, we had been banging a lot of doors that were closed, and COVID presented some silver linings, although, you know, globally it was an incredibly, it's a tragedy, isn't it, and a huge trauma for us collectively to go through. We believe that there are some powerful silver linings to that, and one of those is that companies have been awoken to the power, as I mentioned earlier, of creating an inclusive workplace that makes it possible for everyone to be part of it, and the talent that you can access as a result of that, and the difference it makes to people's lives, and therefore the difference it makes to their output as well, and their engagement, I think is very evident.
Mm-hmm.
And so many companies are still settling, you know, they're still trialing different ways of working, which is inspiring to see. You know, I think COVID's really encouraged more experimentation and bolder decision making, because people leaders had to be bolder than perhaps they'd ever had to be before. And we want to really capitalize on the humanity of it. So the pandemic united us all as humans in a way that I can't think of any other global event that could do that, because it affected absolutely everybody in some way. And at a basic level, we all wanted to stay connected as humans. And that's the sentiment that we're taking forward in our business, is that we're all in this together, you know?
Yeah.
And as businesses change and evolve you know, experiment with different ways of working, but also take inspiration from other leaders doing incredible things, we want to bring those people together.
Mm-hmm.
To share in that humanity, to do business in a different way that focuses on people. And as a result, businesses become more successful. And that's where we believe it's people before profit, but it's people so that profit can happen. You know, it's
sure. No, I get it. And you've mentioned leadership quite a number of times so far. And I mean, this is going to sound like a daft question, but in your opinion, Ursula, what do you really think the role of leadership is in bringing forth, I guess, effective, productive and sustainable workplace flexibility changes? Because, I mean, sustainable, I think, is a key word in there, because we've seen lots of experimentation, like you say, but up and down and backwards and forth, and it's still not quite working. So with that role of leadership in mind, and thinking about where you see the changes we still need to make going forwards, how do you bring those two things together?
It's an ongoing challenge, isn't it? And I
yeah.
think that because we're flying in the face of the way a lot of us have been brought up, in that what we're asking for is a huge degree of vulnerability in making it possible for people to experiment and therefore make mistakes. And lots of us are not accustomed to that level of vulnerability, particularly at work. And I think that is a trait among leaders which is among the most important. And the most successful examples that we're seeing in among the companies that we're privileged to work with are where, from the very top of an organization, there is that permission slip almost to make all kinds of mistakes. And you know, I think that vulnerability piece is really, really important. And I think that is still very much a part of the evolution of leadership. And what we want to do is bring those leaders together to be inspired by each other. And, you know, it's so important that people leaders have the support that they need when their role has expanded so much through the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them say to us that, you know, they feel like they're doing it alone almost. And some of them are battling in a way internally because there isn't always the buy-in at board level, among a leadership team. Lots and lots of people are still, you know, the jury's still out on the business case for inclusion, and the messaging from government isn't always as supportive as it could be. We could have an entire conversation about that, couldn't we? But we won't open that can of worms, Andy. Not today.
That is a big old can of worms, my friend. That one.
It is, and actually, we'll be talking about that next week at Flexpo. So Flexpo's happening, and I'm so excited because through COVID we kept bringing people leaders together digitally, and we had Flexpo Live booked at the Business Design Centre in Islington for the 3rd and 4th of November, and then the rail strikes had a different plan for us. So we've been thwarted quite a few times, and now finally Flexpo is happening next Tuesday and Wednesday on the 21st and 22nd of February at the Business Design Centre. And we've got hundreds of people leaders coming along to be part of the Flexpo community and to find a home, you know, to find other leaders who are on the same path. But also it's really important, I think, when lots of organisations get kind of paraded around as they're smashing it, you know, they're the poster child for inclusion, they're the poster child for flexible working, there's lots and lots of brilliant stuff happening. And what we hear sometimes is that actually other people leaders, that makes them feel like they can't then share what they're doing because it's not quite finished or it's not quite where it needs to be. And there's, it's so important to us that people have the opportunity to explore the messy middle of change projects and the, you know, the path towards becoming a more inclusive workplace. This work is never ever done, and I think that one of the most important things for us is to bring people together, and so that they can learn from each other, they can have that peer-to-peer support, and they can find that home, and they can be inspired certainly by the extraordinary lineup of incredible people professionals who are giving their time to you know, to share their thought leadership and their experiences and their research and their services. You know, it is really truly humbling to be part of something that is so hopefully and I can see it as it's coming together, going to have incredible impact for hundreds of thousands of employees across the country whose workplaces will hopefully become more inclusive for them as a result.
I'm sure it will. I mean, I'm just reflecting on some of the things that you've mentioned there, because I'm interested to sort of understand some of the, I guess, the outcomes that you're looking to get from the event. But if I think back to, you know, our four enablers at Engage for Success include one called organizational integrity, right, which is this minimization of the say-do gap between what we say, I guess, as leaders and what actually happens. And I think there's an incredible short-term pressure on a lot of leaders to get the results, which is why I think, without opening up any more cans of worms, the sort of the cultural job that's never done, the inclusion stuff that's never done, the progressive stuff that's never done, always comes with a longer term need. And it often is pushed out for short-term requirements. And I think you need a healthy balance of the two. I think actually having a space where leaders can come together to sort of share that pain and that thought process is very interesting. And I'm sure that community helps leaders to be more consistent and minimize that say-do gap when they hear what other people are facing and what they're doing. Because I think that phrase, the messy middle, is such an apt description of all of these things that I guess hopefully the majority of people, when we think about bringing humanity back into business after the pandemic, people get that, I think, but they're so challenged in seeing it through. And I suspect events like this are fantastic catalysts in making it happen. I'm interested to find out a little bit more about about the event. And particularly, I understand that there are, I guess, some pledges that you're trying to sort of like push, make, get people to think about as a result of the event and the surrounding information around it. Can you just perhaps shine a bit more light on that for me?
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Andy. So part of what we do, I think it's really important to us that there is a sustainability consideration, because the last thing anybody wants is to give their time to come to an event and then it's over. And then, you know, people go back to their lives. We want to make sure that the impact of the work that happens at Flexpo and the outcomes of the conversations that happen there are shared more widely.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we'll be asking people leaders to do at Flexpo is to sign a pledge. There's several kind of options. They can say that they completely commit to all the pledge commitments, or they, you know, they're considering it, or they already do it, you know, that kind of thing. That everybody will be in a different place. But what we want to do is to illustrate to Parliament that the proposed legislative changes are great progress, and it's going in the great direction. But actually, around 70% of the employers that responded to the consultation around the change in law for flexible working are actually already making flexible working available by default from day one of employment. So lots of companies will not be affected by the new legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to show is the scale of the appetite for more progress, and to demonstrate what is happening. And what we'd like people leaders to do is to commit that they will review jobs for the options for flexible working. And the TUC recently found that around 62% of people leaders said that would be relatively easy to do, which is encouraging. We'd like them to begin to advertise clearly the options for flexible working that exist for roles in job descriptions and job adverts when they're recruiting. And we'd like for all jobs to be available on a flexible basis by default, not by request, because we know that around 30% of flexible working requests are turned down, and putting candidates, particularly vulnerable candidates who may have a caring responsibility, they might have a disability, they might be neurodivergent, they might have a mental or physical health condition that they live with, putting the onus on them to talk about flexible working during a recruitment process, when we know that many people simply will not do that because they fear that it puts them at risk of discrimination right from the outset if they're up against other candidates who do not request flexible working. You know, we believe there's a better way. So those are the three things that we're asking employers to consider. And what we'll be doing is sharing the outcomes of the pledge with some of the all-party parliamentary groups that we're members of, and presenting the pledge outcomes to Parliament alongside the outcomes of some think tank conversations and sessions which will be happening at the event. So yeah, we are trying to keep the conversation going and keep the content very organic and evolving, so that we can have greater impact beyond the show and create access to larger change, really.
Well, this show is going out on the eve of Flexpo. Is there still time for people to sign up?
Or
where can they find out more if they need to?
Absolutely. Go to flexpo.co.uk and you can check out the extraordinary agenda. You know, it really is going to be quite amazing. It's not being recorded, so it's important to us that it's a live show, a live event. So it's at the Business Design Centre in Islington for 2 days. It's free to attend for people leaders. It's 9:30 till 4:30 on both days. There's tons going on. We've got three theatres, lots of different content. We'd love to see you there.
Amazing. Ursula, I would have loved to have spoken to you for a lot, lot longer, but that is about all the time we have for today. Right, everyone, don't forget to visit engageforsuccess.org to check out the show notes and all of our fab free engagement resources, where you can also download or stream any of the great shows from our archive at your leisure. Ursula, genuinely, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and that story and your experiences and advice with us today. And I wish you all the very best with your event.
Thank you so much for having me, Andy. I've really, really loved this conversation. Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Okay, everyone, we'll be back again at the same time next week. I'm Andy Gorham, and thanks for listening to Engage for Success Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.